14th, 2020.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jeff Rasmussen, a retired Racine Unified teacher and administrator who currently serves as president of the Racine Area Retired Educators Association, Steve Brown, a retired professor of educational leadership, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Mangi. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning, and welcome to Education Matters. My name is Laura Sumner Kuhn, and I'm your host this morning, and I'm very excited to have today's discussion about a new initiative in our area that I think could make quite a difference for so many people living in the Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, all of southeastern Wisconsin area. Our topic today is called the Moonshot for Equity Partnership. It's an unusual collaboration with the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, Carthage College, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, Milwaukee Area Technical College, and then a private corporate partner, EAB, that is working with colleges and universities around the nation with the sole goal of eliminating gaps in graduation rates among historically underserved student populations. And the idea is to help these universities achieve equity and student success, particularly here in southeastern Wisconsin, by the year 2030. I have with me this morning as guests to really explore this initiative with us, Dr. Deborah Ford, who is Chancellor of UW-Parkside, and Dr. John Swallow, who is the President and CEO of Carthage College. Good morning.
Good morning, Laura. It's so great to be with you, and thanks for interviewing us on this topic that's so important.
Absolutely.
Good morning, Laura, and I'm very happy to be with you today and appreciate the opportunity to join with John and talking about the Moonshot for Equity that's going to have, I believe, positive impact here in Southeast Wisconsin.
Right. And, you know, I want to get into a little bit of the impetus for this initiative. As I was reading the announcement of the Moonshot for Equity, some of what promulgated this collaboration was what one of you or your collaboration called the Worst in the Nation Quality of Life Differences Among African American and White Residents in Milwaukee and Racine. That was based off of a report that comes out annually by 24/7 Wall Street. And for the third year in a row in November, a year ago in 2019, Milwaukee and Racine were ranked as the worst cities for African Americans to live in. And they looked at eight different indicators. The ones that I think are most important to us, perhaps for our discussion today, although all are important, is looking at education, looking at the academic achievement gap, looking at income and incarceration. And what I found so alarming is that Blacks in southeastern Wisconsin earn half of the median income as their counterparts in our region and are 12 times more likely to spend time in prison. That is just, those are astounding figures to me. And the report goes on to say that a third of Racine Black residents live in poverty, which is nearly four times the rate of their white counterparts. So much of the inequities that have led us to that stark reality is built on a lack of access and perhaps support for African Americans, people of color, who wish to further their educations. And I know that that was a major issue in starting this initiative. So maybe you could begin by describing how that report and your own information at your respective institutions kind of prompted you to start this collaborative and this initiative.
John, do you want to start?
Oh, I was waiting for you, Debbie, because Debbie, you've been so involved in Complete College America, and you've been working at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside for years, getting this work better and better. And so in truth, Carthage is coming to this after the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. I will say that the systemic inequities in the region are something that concerns Carthage, particularly because we have a number of students, about 400 students from Kenosha and Racine counties, and certainly some students from Milwaukee. And the gaps that we see locally are also borne out by the gaps that we see in our student body as a whole, which comes from a somewhat more broad region. But I think it would probably be best for listeners to hear from you, Debbie, on the steps that we've taken to get to this point and how you've really brought leaders together, not only the four that we're talking about here, but with the Higher Education Regional Alliance, to really think collectively about how we can increase graduation rates and close the equity gaps altogether.
Yeah, thank you, John. And Laura, again, thank you for the question. And really, thank you for bringing forth some of the data, you know, that is driving our decision making and our collaboration. I think it's really important for the listeners and Education Matters to understand that a couple of years ago, the Higher Education Regional Alliance, which is the 18 colleges and universities, along with a number of community partners of Kenosha through Milwaukee, came together to improve educational outcomes across the region. And educational outcomes meaning the graduation from our respective institutions, as well as transfer pathways within and among our institutions. And the reason we came together is because certainly pre-pandemic, employers across our region were looking for great talent. And we wanted them to know that we have the graduates and students within our institutions that certainly we want them to look to first. Well, a lot has changed in the pandemic, as we know, but the 18 colleges and universities came together, and I believe it was 2 years this month, November, we started looking at the data disaggregated by race and ethnicity of completion, retention, and success across our institutions. And it was alarming. And the 18 college and university presidents, we convened at Wingspread, the Johnson Foundation at Wingspread, and realized that we cannot stand for these equity gaps. And in terms of outcomes for African-American, Black students and Hispanic students. And the reports that you referenced, I think, validated the importance of this work, because that then affects health inequity, income inequities, as well as the folks that, you know, continue to live in poverty. So that is how we came together. Why is this collaboration important? It's because that is one of the key goals that we have as leaders of our respective institutions. And the four institutions, UW-Milwaukee, Carthage College, UW-Parkside, and Milwaukee Area Technical College, have taken this even further to join the Moonshot for Equity, where we are saying enough is enough. And what we need to do is do things differently, collaborate, and invest time and energy to make a commitment that we will not only close gaps, but we will eliminate equity gaps going forward.
Looking at, Deborah, I'm glad you mentioned the Higher Education Regional Alliance, looking at some of the information that they had issued. And I'm sorry, I'm not sure exactly when I pulled this from 2019, probably. And I'm sure it's not too much different now if it's a little older, but graduation data compiled from that alliance at the time had said 63% of white college students in the 7-county Milwaukee region earned a bachelor's degree within 6 years, but only 49% of Hispanic students had achieved that. And only 35% of Black students had achieved that goal of graduation within 6 years. So I just wanted to give our listeners a perspective of what we're talking about in terms of education attainment and how you disaggregated that data. The initiative itself is so huge, and there are so many facets to take a look at. I've noticed that, and I'm hoping you could fill me in here, that some of the bigger areas that it looks as though you are hoping to accomplish this effort of closing the gap by 2030, so in 10 years, would be in leadership development at your own institutions, looking at research regarding student success, and relying on predictive analytics. And all three of those areas are really fascinating to me. So could you maybe both embellish a little bit about how in these first few years you hope to go about doing these things?
Sure, Laura. I'll start by saying that the leadership development or the change management is very important in helping faculty and staff, I would say office by office, department by department, and then really cross-departmentally, take a hard look at understanding our students and the obstacles they face. Which is to say that I think and this is for me too, it's very easy to have in your mind an idea of what a typical student on your campus is like. But the truth is that there are students in all sorts of different situations, and that doesn't mean that they can all be communicated with effectively in the same way, that their financial situation is the same. And for all of our officers to realize that while, you know, the Carthage student of the past may have been more like that idealized typical student, it's a situation now where we have lots of different students, and we need to think about all of them. We have students, for instance, who work 40 hours a week while they're students, and we have some students that don't work at all while they're students. Those are very different. So the change management is to help us all on campus take a look at how we communicate, the processes, the procedures, whether we have differential outcomes in those processes. So that's one. A second that you mentioned was the research on student success. There is a lot of research, and it's also quite contextual campus to campus. But we do know that if we can simplify the choices that students make and reduce the burdens, let's say, from transferring from one major to another or from one school to another so that they don't lose credit or lose time, and which is essentially losing money, that their success rates will be higher. And so this is a systemic issue. It's one we really need to solve ourselves because we're the institutions that created this issue. And really make it as smooth as possible from when they begin to when they end. And then that last piece, the predictive analytics, I'd say that really we're bringing a technology platform called Navigate from EAB that will allow us both to reach students in targeted ways, but also to generate a lot of data about how those students are interacting with us, when they tend to pay bills, when they tend to register, and then we can do some analysis to understand how certain cohorts of students can be helped in certain ways. So the fact that some students haven't, let's say, paid a bill on time or registered for class by a certain moment, can we understand who those students are, what they might have in common, what we could do about their situation? I'm really struck with one example that Georgia State, which as you know has been a kind of a model for this work, they realized that a lot of students who were incoming students who'd applied and been accepted and were ready to enroll, they didn't show up on the first day. And they wondered why. And it turned out that a number of them had trouble locating their vaccination records. That was it. Maybe they're living with their grandmother. Maybe they don't have a typical family doctor. Maybe no one just kept tabs on the records. And, you know, in the big scheme of things, this is so small. And so Georgia State realized that they could just get past this problem to bring a van and vaccinate students. It doesn't cost much. And those students then start to succeed from day one, rather than wondering that somehow they are far behind by not fulfilling this one thing before they begin. So it's really a collection of processes, of ways to understand our students and their obstacles, bringing together data and human change management, so that we can all be fully aligned about making college as smooth as possible, knowing that our students do face challenges that our students in the past may not have, from working to different family situations, to not understanding, frankly, what can be a very complicated college environment. I mean, here at Carthage, we're not the biggest place, but we have over 50 majors. And the last thing we want is for someone to go down a road in one major and then change to another, and then somehow that sets them back. We want it to be as smooth as possible.
You know, I appreciate your giving that example, because it kind of points us to one of those kind of systemic issues, right, where the culture of education has grown through centuries, actually, and we've created these kinds of processes and expectations that we assume everybody understands, and we assume that everybody knows this is what you have to do to be a successful college student without that kind of component of empathy and understanding and compassion and change among the students that come to the institution, so that these processes become institutionalized. And then we start to talk about students failing because they're not trying hard enough, where merit becomes the issue that I think gets talked about most in our society, rather than understanding all of these simple things, as like vaccinations that you've just pointed up. I wonder, Debbie, if you have found similar things at Parkside that that you are looking for change in respect to the institution's understanding of its students.
Absolutely. And so I'm going to answer this question with a couple of thoughts. First of all, already here at UW-Parkside, we are an early adopter of the Navigate technology with EAB, thanks to the support of University of Wisconsin as a system. So all of the system schools are using this technology. We rolled it out, actually started about a year ago, and rolled it out in February of this year, right before we went into Safer at Home in relation to the pandemic. So it helped us to be able to improve communication with students. And it's also app. It has an app with it, and that's the way students prefer to be have their communication today. It also helped us to be able to look at some internal policies around registration holds. And that's one of the things that the Georgia State folks looked at as well, is we have all of these holds that prevent students from registering, and some of them have been set up, but we've never asked the questions around why, and why do we need those in a 21st century context. So for us, we've been able to say, what are we doing as an institution that is preventing student success? And I like to say, what are the myths, policies, practices, and perpetuated myths that really impede student success. So I think being part of the moonshot is going to help us to confront some of these realities as an institution. And another key part to this work, Laura, is that we need to move away from saying that the students are deficient and look at what we as institutions are doing that really do impede the success. And John laid out the change management and leadership development. He laid out how the analytics will help us and the technology. But another key part to being in the moonshot for equity is that developing equity-minded individuals and leaders on our campuses. And what we need to do is become more race conscious and mindful of the societal and historical context of exclusionary practices in education. And I think that's what we started talking about earlier, and that's what you talked about as part of your questions here. But that's a key part of what we are attempting to do as well. And then one other point I would add is this is not just Parkside and Carthage and UW Milwaukee and MATC, but eventually there will be 7 regions that will be participating in the Moonshot for Equity. And we're going to learn and be able to share that information across all of our regions. And our goal here in the Milwaukee region is to be a model for other communities and regions across the country. So that's what excites me. So I can talk about very specific outcomes and what's happening here at UW Parkside. And then ultimately, our broader goal is to be part of this really national collaborative.
Good. I would like to encourage you to do that. I'm going to take one quick minute to remind our listeners that they're listening this morning to Education Matters on WGTD, where my guests are Dr. John Swallow from Carthage College and Dr. Deborah Ford from the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, and they're here to discuss a new initiative called Moonshot for Equity in our region. So let's continue the conversation. You know, there's so many questions I have. So before you get into some of the successes that you've seen at Parkside, I have to ask this question on the heels of what you both have just said, and that is, you have students coming to you after they've already been through a number of educational systems where we know it is also inequitable for many of our students. How are you engaging, particularly the secondary schools, which is probably a little bit easier perhaps at Parkside, where you're part of the UW system, and Carthage, I would imagine, draws students from so many different areas. But how are you engaging secondary schools in this effort so that some of what you're seeing can translate to them? Because it seems to me many of the practices that we've established in schools tumble down from our institutions of higher learning.
So why don't I start there, and then I'll let John talk a little bit about this. Here in Southeast Wisconsin, both Kenosha and Racine communities are very, very engaged and actually national leaders in the Strive Together networks. In Racine, it's called Higher Expectations of Racine County, and in Kenosha, it's called Building Our Future. John and I, along with Brian Albrecht, are very active participants at the executive committee and leadership table with the Strive Together initiatives, Higher Expectations, Building Our Future. And the goals and really the framework for these networks is to focus on what happens from the cradle all the way through your career and a number of touch points along the way. So it creates that alignment. With that, we have the opportunity to partner with our Racine Unified School District, as well as the Kenosha Unified School District. So at this time, I serve on the executive committee of Higher Expectations in Racine County. And we recently had a phone call about how do we improve the college going rate of underrepresented students, Black and Brown students, Hispanic, Latino, and African-American Black students in our community. And so we're working on some strategies to not only have that be a priority of Carthage, Parkside, and Gateway, and Herzing, but also a priority in partnership with our K-12 partners. And then the other thing I would say, before I let John talk a little bit about his role with Building Our Future and what they're doing at Carthage, is that we are also providing more opportunities for dual enrollment. We're partnering with our high schools where students can take their high school courses and have them be able to receive college credit to get them started earlier. And so at UW Parkside, that is called PACC, P-A-C-C, And it is Parkside Access to College Credit. And so we're very excited about the PAC program and the partnerships that we have with our local high schools. But that is a continuous effort for us, and it needs to be more seamless across our region. And John is on the executive committee for Building Our Future, and also very involved in the leadership work at In Higher Expectations.
Yes. So you pointed out a great issue, Laura, which is that all of these systems and the systemic inequities are interrelated and interconnected. And in many cases, one depends on another. And what we really need are ideas that span those systems. An idea that, since we're on the Education Matters show, has been discussed more and more widely with Higher Expectations, but also Building Our Future and thinking about our education programs, is could we design a process where we identify high school students who wish to have a career in education, help them succeed in high school, help them enter one of our educational post-secondary systems, graduate, and then go back to KUSD or RUSD as a teacher, rather than thinking of these as just so many stages that are completely separate or something that the student has to navigate herself or himself alone. Because we know that there are many teachers being hired every year at KUSD and RUSD. There's a fair amount of turnover. And we know that students who grow up here would like to be here, but they'd like to be in a family-sustaining job. And those who are interested in education ought to have great opportunities if we help them through the system. And having said all that, though, there is a worry sometimes that all of us in these different interconnected systems can sometimes not hold ourselves sufficiently accountable and say, well, you know, if somebody in the other system had helped students better or differently, then we wouldn't have the problems we have at our system. And one thing that I really appreciate about the moonshot is that our North Star leader, Tim Rennick at Georgia State, he got to the point where he simply didn't accept that it was all right to talk about high school systems as an excuse for why students weren't succeeding in college. And he said that took him a while, but ultimately he's able to make the claim, and I almost fall out of my chair every time I say this, that even after 10 years of per student budget cuts and a declining academic profile of students at Georgia State, increasing financial challenges for students, still after that, in 10 years, they were able to say that race and income are no longer predictors of college completion. They were able to move graduation rates up 23 percentage points. And so when I hear that, that's the inspiration that I need to know that it is possible that there are educational inequities that happen at early ages, but they don't have to be determinative for the rest of the system. And that we in the post-secondary area, we can, if we try hard enough, close those gaps, eliminate those gaps. And it could be, as you point out, that some of the techniques that we learn, we can share with the K-12 system. But I want to make sure that we hold ourselves accountable first and not imagine that we simply are perpetuating inequities that we can't do anything about.
Something occurs to me as well that you don't hear about as much at the post-secondary level of education, but that is family and parent engagement. I mean, I guess in the last 2 years, we've heard some negative family engagement in the admission scandal to colleges, but it seems to me that increasingly as a student goes through the education systems and the phases of education, we get more and more removed from parents and the realities of families and really having whole discussions. Are there any initiatives that are part of this Moonshot project that engage parents and the whole families in different ways than what you have done historically?
Well, I'm happy to say that the real principle of the Moonshot is that we collaborate across the institutions and learn what might work well in one institution because it's worked at another. And So there aren't kind of specific magic bullets here where, you know, one system change is really all that's needed. We all have to look hard at what we're doing. I mean, I can say, for example, that when we started a First in the Family program 2 years ago, we did seek to engage first-generation students and their families more intentionally than we had in the past. And it is to get at exactly those things that you mentioned earlier, Laura, that a first-generation student comes from a family that doesn't know, in many cases, how to navigate some of the peculiarities of higher education that we should simplify. So we've had some success there, and we're happy to share that success with other institutions. And I'm hoping that it will actually be a two-way street. One of the things that I find most valuable about all of this collaboration is that institutions like Carthage tend to look only at small private institutions for ideas. And when that's the case, it's very likely that the ideas we find from similar institutions are the ones we already had. But if you ask yourself, how do we close equity gaps? Well, we need to learn from every institution about how they work with the students they have. And the truth is, the students we have are not all that different from students at Parkside or UW-Milwaukee or many, many other places. They've simply chosen to come here for a set of circumstances that fits their wishes. And so I know that we will learn here at Carthage some great techniques, some great principles from Parkside, from MATC, from UW-Milwaukee, and I'm hoping from other institutions across the country, because they have more experience, let's say, or have tried different things over time with different cohorts of students. And so it's really a collective effort trying to take those ideas and figure out what works on your own campus.
Yeah, and Laura, I would add to this conversation about, you know, parent and family engagement as in higher education, particularly those students who come right out of high school into the college and university environment. It's really that transition into young adulthood. And certainly there's a lot of changes, but for young adults. But as John pointed out, so many of the students that we serve here at our institutions and across Southeast Wisconsin are first in their family to go to college. And the good news is first in their family to graduate from college. But I can share, and I know John as well, that on when students are choosing where is the fit for them for their college and university education, you know, parents and family members are involved and they are taking tours, they're supporting their students as they make the decision and then they continue on their learning journey. And so it certainly looks different than what it is in high school, but parents and family members are there as that support system. And I think through Moonshot, we have the opportunity to have parents and families continue to be essential members of the support system to help students succeed. And again, particularly our Black, African American, and Hispanic students. And I guess the other thing, the visual I have in mind when you asked that question was of graduation and just how loud and proud family members are and how many family members come to our graduation ceremonies to celebrate the success of their graduates. And again, my hope is in a decade is that we need bigger spaces and we need more ceremonies because we have more graduates, you know, here from Carthage and UW Parkside.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? We haven't talked at all about finances. How much is the financial burden of attending higher learning at institution responsible for the lack of more graduates among a wider group of people in southeastern Wisconsin?
So, John, I'll start that one. I think, Laura, that finances and inability to, you know, pay for higher education is a factor, but I don't think it's the only factor. Both at UW Parkside and at Carthage College, we have financial aid, and some of that is publicly provided, privately provided through scholarship programs from generous donors and friends and alumni of the university who are paying it forward for the next generation. And but certainly financial, there are financial challenges. As John pointed out, he has students that are working 20, 30, 40 hours a week, and then some students that are not. We have the same situation here at UW-Parkside. We also started the Parkside Promise Plus program to help students, you know, with that sort of last dollar from the financial aid that they can receive to be able to make higher education an affordable option for them. And I think the other point I would make is, are the members of our financial aid departments at here across the region are outstanding, okay? I mean, outstanding. And I would encourage your listeners, students and family members and parents to call financial aid to see what is possible. And our goal is to reduce the mystery of how do you qualify for financial aid so that we can help you achieve that dream of earning a college degree.
Yeah, just to follow up on that, yes, certainly finances can be a factor, but it's easy to point to that and say, well, again, you know, the problem is not really us, it's just the system, or the problem is the finances. We've taken some steps at Carthage to alleviate the burden. Our tuition cut last year of 30% is significant, and our families on average today pay less than they did, the average family did 10 years ago. And so we're proud of that. It is something that we have to balance every year. But getting back to like the example of the particular student, we could simply note that they're financially challenged and leave it at that. Or we could say, this student, and I'm thinking about a particular student I talked with this week, worked 60 hours a week over the summer and then 40 hours a week every week of the term in the middle of the pandemic. And then you think about that. Well, was it easy for that student to schedule classes around the work schedule? Was the work schedule easy to schedule around the classes? What were the burdens there? What were the obstacles? Maybe that person worked from 2 in the afternoon to 10 at night and had difficulty with homework the next day. So how could the institution schedule classes differently or allow for homework to come in on different days or to give more advance warning of homework? There are all kinds of things we could do to help that student. So yes, there's a financial challenge and we could just leave it at that, but we could say that student is working 40 hours a week to finance college. That student is working very hard. So what can we do to make sure that that student has as smooth a path and doesn't get stuck in the middle, like hearing that something's due just the next day and then they're working 8 hours and they don't have time to do the work. So again, it's, you know, it's on us to look at our own system and ask, what can we do rather than just leave it at the fact that it would be easier on everyone if there were more money available?
There's so much to discuss in this issue, and I notice our time is kind of running out, and I want to give you the opportunity to talk about your priorities, let's say, for the next academic year when it comes to Moonshot for Equity. Can you enlighten us of where you're going to zero in most of your focus for the next year and what you hope to attain by the end of the academic year?
So I'll start. I think for us is we have successfully launched our participation in the Moonshot for Equity. We are working on a number of assessments and during this first 100 days to get assess where we are, and also as the four institutions come together, where do we need to keep our priorities? So I think one is going to be having a clear sense of priorities. For us at UW-Parkside, it is to continue to implement and deploy the Navigate analytics and the Navigate tools across our campus. We're a little bit ahead of where Carthage is, and then we hope in late winter to launch the second technology tool, which is academic mapping and academic planning as well. So it's the focus on technology, focus on assessment. And then I would say the third part is really this equity-minded leadership and change management. Those programs and opportunities will be launched as well.
Well, thanks, Debbie. Yes, for us, we'll be implementing Navigate. That's already started to happen. The first 100 days of assessments, which really go office by office to understand the equity mindedness and the policies and practices that we might have tried to adjust or may not have looked at all. So we'll do an inventory of all of that. And then for us, it's making sure that as many faculty and staff are aware of what we're doing and how they can be involved. This work for us is part of our anti-racism plan announced this summer. And so it's coordinated with the establishment of an intercultural center and really a renewed intention to work on retention, both to eliminate equity gaps, but also to increase it across the board. That should involve every aspect of campus. And I know that one aspect that is going to be very important for both of our institutions is athletics. We enroll a lot of students here at Carthage, about a third through athletics. And this is a place where our new athletic director, Nate Stewart, is very interested in working on improving retention rates through coaches and the work that they do. So all of this is getting integrated at once, which on one hand is great. There will be a challenge to decide if we are terribly successful, exactly how it happened. But the truth is, what we want is students to graduate. We want them to have a great experience to graduate. And if we're able to close these equity gaps and eliminate them, and we're not sure exactly how it happened along the way, that's all right.
Well, I commend you both for your entry into this partnership and this very fine work. It's a very critical time in our society, I think, with the reawakening of how many disparities still exist in our society today, and how we have to work so much harder to make all of life's wonderfulness equitable across the whole scope of humankind. And this is one way to try to achieve that. I really commend you both. I hope that you will consider coming back to Education Matters as you go through this process for the next 10 years, and that we'll hear some wonderful results from your fine work. So thank you both for joining me this morning. And
thank you, Laura. This has been great. Yeah, there's so much to talk about.
Thank you, Laura, and I stand ready to come back, and I think this is just another example of how education will and continue to be part of the solutions going forward, and it's through great partnerships with John and you and others that we're going to continue to make a positive impact across our community. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Bill.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page. Support for WGTD comes from the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, offering a master's degree in clinical mental health counseling. Work as a licensed professional counselor or mental health and wellness advocate. Details at uwp.edu.
WGTD is an affiliate of Wisconsin Public Radio and NPR. A cultural asset and a community resource, WGTD is owned and operated by Gateway Technical College, with additional financial support from the Wisconsin Public Radio Association and local underwriters whose customers value public radio.
You're listening to WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, your gateway to public radio.
This program originally aired January 9th. 2021.
This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist with the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside, and Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
And welcome to Community Matters. I'm Jane Herring. And today we are going to be talking about the crisis of homelessness and talking about some of the programs that benefit individuals who are experiencing homelessness, in our area. We're going to be talking with Katie Petzka, who is a manager with Lutheran Social Services, LSS, of Wisconsin and Upper Michigan. And she is the program manager who oversees some of the programs that are being delivered in our area, and also talk much more broadly about the homelessness issue or crisis. So welcome to the program, Katie.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Katie, you know, I guess at first, why